AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Fox and Dominion Voting Systems have reached a settlement in the voting machine company's defamation lawsuit. CBS's Steve Futterman.
A delay in opening statements led to speculation that there might be a deal, and that's exactly what happened.
$787,500,000 represents vindication.
Attorney Justin Nelson represented Dominion, which had been suing for $1.6 billion. Fox attorneys said nothing, the company issuing a brief statement saying it acknowledged certain statements made about Dominion were false. Dominion CEO John Polis.
It caused enormous damage to my company.
Fox still faces a similar lawsuit from another voting machine company. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
It's been challenging trying to fill up a gas tank in South Florida. Last week's flooding has led to distribution problems.
I wouldn't say it's a shortage simply because there are millions of gallons of gasoline still waiting to be delivered at Port Everglades.
And tonight, Pat DeHaan with Gas Buddies says it could be about a week or so before things start to get back to normal. That's if people stop panic buying. We're learning the Florida Department of Emergency Management is sending 500,000 gallons of fuel here to the southeast part of the state to help.
CBS's Manuel Bajorquez reporting. A New York City parking garage collapses, crushing cars and killing one person.
This sounds like a bomb going off, yeah. Like something like a little explosion.
Five have been injured. No word yet on what caused the lower Manhattan structure collapse. Police have charged a man with murder in the shooting deaths of four people at a home in Maine that preceded shootings on a major highway. WGME-TV's Marissa Bodner reports.
State police now confirm it all started with a shooting spree at a home in Bowdoin. That's where four people were found dead. Police say a short time later, three people were shot in different vehicles while driving southbound near mile marker 17 and exit 15 in Yarmouth. One is critically injured. Police are still working to piece it all together.
There will be no more mascots or teams related to indigenous people in one East Coast state. CBS's Matt Piper.
The New York Board of Regents has officially banned the use of indigenous names, mascots, and imagery in all public schools. No more names like warriors, chiefs, or braves.
I think that's a wonderful move.
Reverend Tracy Blackman is with the United Church of Christ, which works with the Council of American Indian Ministries.
Give back authority to not have their names used in ways that entertain us.
The districts must abide by 2025. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
A coroner's report says singer and rapper Aaron Carter accidentally drowned in his bathtub due to sedatives he'd taken and gas used in spray cleaners that he had inhaled. Aaron was found dead last November 5th. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Nettner. Here's what you need to know. The man accused of killing his parents, the owners of the Union Star Cheese Factory, appeared in court yesterday. 25-year-old Eric Metzik of the town of Wolf River is facing two counts of first-degree intentional homicide. David and Jan Metzik, both in their 70s, were found dead in their home with gunshot wounds last month. Another son found them and contacted police. News 13 reports Eric Metzik is being held on a $1 million cash bond. He's due back in court on May 30th. State and local governments in Wisconsin wouldn't be allowed to ban gas-powered vehicles, snow blowers, lawnmowers, or other machines under a pair of bills up for a vote today in the Assembly. The bills are sponsored by Republicans who are hoping to outlaw measures similar to a law passed in California last year, which requires all new cars, trucks, and SUVs sold in that state run on electricity or hydrogen by 2035. I'm Jane Nettner. This is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com. The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
What a world we're in right now. You got a state senator from Missouri saying he knows 12-year-olds who have been married. You got a state like Iowa who, with 5:42 in the morning, passed one of the worst child labor laws in the entire country, like thieves in the night. But remember, they love the children, especially when they can marry them at 12 years old and they can get them to work for cheap wages. That's all I got for you. And this comes up because, someone we've had on the show a couple of times, our friend Sammy Sheets, we met him on the road back during the Working Class Heroes radio tour, was doing a site visit at a construction site and just happened to come across what looked like a child working in construction. And here to share some thoughts on, well, where this is, why it is, how it is, and maybe what we do to make sure it doesn't happen. I've asked Iowa State Representative Sammy Sheets to come share some thoughts with us. Sammy, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks so much for having me again, Rick.
So am I getting this right? You're doing a site visit of this big construction project that the state's given a boatload of money to, that the locality's given a boatload of money to, and you got a child working on the construction site, is that right?
Potentially, yeah. So what we were doing is we were doing a day with the Carpenters Union in Cedar Rapids, and they wanted to show us the difference between a union job site and a non-union job site in terms of cleanliness, in terms of the safety protocols, et cetera. So we toured a union job site, which was really spectacular, that's being built in South Cedar Rapids. And we went to this job site, and I think they obviously knew that some things were going to be a problem in terms of safety violations or OSHA violations, potential OSHA violations. And so we walked through, we toured the place. There were some potential OSHA violations. And then when we got to the top, obviously, we saw all of us noticed that there was somebody that looked a lot younger than 18 years old, which is what you're required to be in the state of Iowa to work on a construction job site. And a couple of us went over, and another member of the tour asked the kid how old he was in Spanish. And we had a supervisor come over, assume that we didn't speak any Spanish, and tell the kid in Spanish that he needed to say he was 18 years old. And so obviously that was a huge red flag. We met later with the supervisor for that job site and asked if there was anybody. I asked specifically if there was anybody that was underage, and everybody above age working on this job site. He could not give me a definitive answer about whether everybody was of age on this job site. And, you know, this was just jarring for me. I've heard for years from organized labor and from the unions about how dangerous and some of the tactics that these really big developers use to cut corners and to try and cut costs at the expense of worker safety. I did not realize, and I think even they were shocked to find there was actual potential child labor being used on a project that had $6.5 million, as you alluded to, in TIF money from the city of Cedar Rapids government, and then $17 million in state incentives from the state of Iowa. And as I said right after, we can't have a dollar of taxpayer money go to projects that cut corners, to developers that cut corners, and obviously to developers that potentially commit crimes and knowingly use underage labor for their projects.
No, it's crazy. And look, even with as bad as, and I do want to talk about the bill that was passed in Iowa, this child labor monstrosity, at 5:42 in the morning. I want to talk about that, but would this still be illegal under the new laws? And the direction Iowa's going?
Yeah, I mean, it would, even with the terrible bill the Republicans passed in the middle of the night, or I guess the middle of the morning, this morning, this would still be, you know, based on exactly what the kid's age is, this would most likely be illegal. The bigger question is, why are Republicans choosing now to put, you know, kids back into harm's way, take them out of school and put them in to these dangerous job sites like construction sites? And, you know, thankfully, Rick, as a quick aside, as a result, I think of what happened in Cedar Rapids, there were some amendments to that really terrible bill that made it just a tiny, tiny bit less awful. And so they took out the provisions that would have allowed the kids to work in coal mines and meat packing plants, which was the worst part of the bill. But they can still do construction at 14, apprenticeships and things like that, and really dangerous roofing, really dangerous kinds of work. But what this legislation does, and we see this is not just in Iowa, it's really bad here in Iowa, this bill they're passing. This is a national trend,
right,
of Republican states not being willing to address the core reason of why they're having workforce shortages and workforce development problems. Here in the state of Iowa, we have the lowest minimum wage. If you look for a ring around us that includes Republican states like Missouri, we still have the lowest minimum wage in the area. If we're not willing to pay workers a living wage, if we put 22 anti-LGBTQ bills that make the business community and tons of potential workers who want to come to Iowa feel unwelcome in this state, if we pass a $1 billion voucher bill that takes public dollars from our public education system that used to be the best in the country and give it to private schools, why would people want to come here, Rick?
No,
I mean, they wonder why we have a workforce problem shortage.
No, the fact of the matter is I had said, you know, back when this Iowa bill first came up, that, you know, my kids aren't going to be affected by this. It's going to be people of color. It's going to be, you know, immigrants who are going to be the ones abused by this. And it's not surprising to me that on this construction site, it was someone who spoke Spanish. It's not a shock at all.
No.
My question on this is always, why aren't there any consequences? In my mind, this is a clear violation. You know, the police should have came, that supervisor should have gotten a set of bracelets. The person running the job should have gotten a set of bracelets. We should be locking people up, but that's not how this works, is it?
Yeah, I mean, there are still investigations going on, so I have to be careful about what I can say in terms of potential consequences.
Well, forget about this scenario. Forget about this entirely. This sure. Being nothing. Let's say it was anything else and a different person entirely.
Rick, there should absolutely be consequences for people who use child labor. You're not disagreeing with me. I'm not going to disagree with you on that at all. There should be criminal consequences if you traffic, especially in this case, in a lot of these cases, where it's undocumented kids, undocumented workers. This is not, you know, people want to complain about, some people on the right want to complain about undocumented workers taking their jobs. This is the developers who are squeezing undocumented workers because they know that the undocumented workers have no recourse for action.
Yep.
They'll threaten and tell them, you know, what are you going to do? Go complain to law enforcement? And then we'll call immigration. That's something that is regularly used by different developers to coerce a lot of these undocumented immigrant workers. And it's just shameful.
Yep.
the other thing too is that as a general practice, not just on this job site, not just in the state of Iowa, the concepts of tax evasion and tax fraud and misclassification of workers, we see that all the time, where large developers, you know, not just TWG, but other groups, TWG is the developer on this project in Cedar Rapids, but other developers will pay subcontractors and they pay their workers in cash or subcontract them, even though they're working hourly wages or they're working more than 40 hours a week and deserve benefits. But they will misclassify them. They'll pay them in cash. And so they won't have to pay for work comp. They won't have to pay taxes. And so we're losing a lot of tax revenue as well. And a lot of times there will be wage theft. In Iowa alone, there's $900 million a year in wage theft. And a lot of that comes on the backs of immigrants, of people of color, and of working class workers in this state.
Now, what's interesting to me is I know there are people listening and go, well, this is why we need to crack down on illegal, undocumented immigrants. This is the reason we need to go after them. And that's not my take on this. My take on this is the reason we need prevailing wage laws. This is the reason why we need strong labor unions to ensure that that doesn't happen. Because you said it yourself. You went to that union job site. And it was done right. There were no children working there. There were people who were highly skilled craftspeople doing that job. And I'll bet you there wasn't a spot of anything out of place.
Absolutely. And so I think what the labor movement, I mean, we can talk all day about, you know, what the labor movement has done right and wrong over the past 100, 150 years. I think the labor movement has gotten so much better in terms of thinking about organizing, union organizing, and building a multiracial working class movement in the United States. And that's the primary goal. That includes undocumented workers, that includes workers of color, because when black workers and brown workers and white workers understand that the boss is trying to divide us, right, and have us fight against each other, they win. And we need to unite as a working class against the boss class across the country. So I think undocumented workers, all workers, are part of that to fight against exploitation in our system.
Yeah.
And so I think that is something that the labor movement has started to understand a lot more. You know, people will say the labor movement traditionally was white, male dominated, and I think it's becoming less and less that way. And I think that's a really good development, especially here in Iowa. We talk about agriculture being such a huge part of our industry. Migrant workers are essential to the agricultural economy of the state of Iowa. And I hope someday that they will be able to form some sort of powerful organizing, that there's going to be an organizing movement for those workers here in the state, because they deserve protections and rights like every other worker does as well.
You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Iowa State Representative Sammy Sheets talking about the child labor bill that just passed like thieves in the night. And again, I got to think at some level, Sammy, the more we talk about how bad this legislation is, and I assume most of what was horrible in it is still there. As you said, there were a couple of little tweaks. Is there a moment where the people in Iowa go, we've gone too radical? Is there, because I keep asking that question about the Republican Party as a whole. Is there a moment where Republican voters go, this isn't what we signed up for, 12-year-olds getting married and, you know, kids working on construction sites and so on. Does it go too far?
I mean, 1,000% it goes too far, but I'm going to give some examples of states in our neighborhood, and that's what gives me hope in terms of looking at when other states, Republicans went too far and they paid a price. The state of Kansas eliminated progressive income taxation. They weren't able to fund their schools. Schools were boarding up, closing up, going Monday through Thursday, 4 days a week. And so one of the most essential services that people demanded and expected from their government wasn't being provided. What did they do? Kansas, which is much more conservative than Iowa, has had a Democrat governor for 6 years. The state of Wisconsin, which created or was the first state to develop the most anti-union, anti-worker legislation in the country, the Republican Party that perfected gerrymandering, that took away abortion rights after Roe last year, that Republican Party just had an incredibly important Supreme Court race about 2 weeks ago that decides the future of that state. And a Democrat in Wisconsin won by, I think, 11 or 12 points, or the progressive candidate won by 11 or 12 points. They are paying real prices for their terrible policies, especially when they're going after working people. And I can only think and I can only hope that the array of terrible pieces of legislation, from what I mentioned earlier, the voucher bill, we just kicked 10,000 people off of SNAP benefits, 600 people off of 600 children off of their health insurance last week with a SNAP bill that was passed in the Iowa legislature. They cannot squeeze working people in the state anymore. And so I'm really hopeful that working people will fight back and will put the Republican Party, you know, and take them out of power. That's the only thing I can hope for. I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that happens.
Well, I'm glad you're there, Sammy. You're doing a great job. Keep up the great work, and I hope you're right. I'm hoping the price will be paid, especially as we continue to point out the horrible that they're doing. I appreciate you taking time for us. Keep up the great work.
Thanks so much, Rick. Have a good night.
You as well, our good friend Sammy Sheets. I look at this, and again, I come back to this moment of just how bad some of this legislation has been, and just how I'm hoping there's a price to be paid for it. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Now, remember, our GOP friends, they love the children. They care about the children, love the children. And like I said, you got that Senator Moon from Missouri going, I know somebody, I know 12-year-olds are married. And then they're still married.
They're 12.
And I was thinking about this today. There used to be a joke back when I was in high school. Again, this is a long time ago. It was about congressmen and their little boys. It was kind of a cautionary tale for old guys hitting on young guys and young girls, that simply asked the question, why don't congressmen use bookmarks? And the answer was because they like their pages bent over. And it was a joke. It was a joke. For those who don't remember, it's been a long time since Congress did away with the pages. You had congressional pages, like high school students or first-year college students who would go and do, unpaid intern work. It got them a little experience, but it opened up, to the conservatives, and it was mostly conservatives. The good family, God gaze, that kind of stuff. Caring about the kids so much that, they would sit them on their laps and do all kinds of, never mind. The reason I bring this up, they did away with the page system, which is why you don't hear a lot of scandal among the Congress people as much anymore as you used to. The reason I bring this up is there's another wave of this going on, but it's not Congress. It's still in politics. It's in these political advisors and these political gurus who have the power of granting careers and jobs and opportunities. And the most recent one, who has got his, well, thing in a ringer. How many people know who Ali Alexander is? Ali Alexander was, you know, he was it was always weird to me that a guy named, originally named Ali Akbar, who changed his name to Ali Alexander, he would be part of the white nationalist movement. It was always weird to me. Just very, very strange. But he's admittedly bisexual. I guess he claims that he battles with same sex attraction. Somehow he's in the conservative, brain trust, if you will. Well, it's now come out because of another, and I think he's outwardly gay as well. Big conservative mouthpiece. Evidently, he feels that he's been mistreated or thrown out of the E campaign or some craziness. This Milo Yiannopoulos is now putting out stuff that this Ali Alexander was hitting on teenage boys. And, you know, using this Milo's name to get them to whatever. You let your imagination do whatever it does. So Alexander came out and he said, "I apologize for any inappropriate messages. When I've flirted or others have flirted with me, I have flexed my credentials or dropped corny pickup lines. Other times I've been careless and should have qualified those upcoming to me something identities during flirtatious banter at the start." I don't know what all that means other than he's admitted that he was hitting on young boys. And this guy is, you know, he's somebody in the Republican circles. And again, you look at all of these names that keep popping up. They're out there talking about how much they care about the kids, how much, you know, the left is grooming. And it's that kind of projection that even my mother, when I was a small child, say, you know, anybody who's pointing their finger at you, it's got, you know, three more pointing back at you. This is it. You know, they're pointing a finger at somebody else with three fingers pointing back at them. They're going, those are groomers. And look at what they're doing. You point out not too long ago, you had that Matt Schlapp, the guy who was the CPAC guy. He's the chairman of the American Conservative Union, evidently fondling a male campaign staffer. But in the most family values of way. It's crazy. And then the story today that broke. You have this guy, this Kent Sturman, who basically was Ron DeSantis's right-hand guy. He is nowhere. DeSantis is nowhere without this Kent Sturman. This is the brains behind the idiocy. And evidently, he was having, how did they put it? He was accused of sexual misconduct with an underage teen. And the girl's father evidently declined the five-figure hush money deal and reported it to the police. You know, because this is what conservatives do. They get caught, and then they want to pay it off. I'm thinking Trump. A little hush money. I wonder if he would have tried, if he'd have gotten away with it. I wonder if he'd have tried to run it off on his taxes. But this guy, I'm sure you know where this is going. The hush money wasn't paid. Police were called. So the guy killed himself. And, you know, there's part of me that goes, and this is going to sound horrible, because it kind of is. But I don't care. I don't care. You know, this guy, horrible. Absolutely horrible. But I find it even more horrible that these are the people who keep saying that they care about the children. We want them to work in dangerous working conditions. Let them get married at 12 years old to adults. And then have them be the ones who are really the groomers. Really the ones who are doing the horrible things that their minds are fixated on. And I've always believed that. If someone's telling me that, oh, there's this going on or that going on, it's a mirror into their soul. It's a mirror into who they are. You know, it's like, you know, you've got these people who are just absolutely transphobic. you know, they're out there running around screaming about how, oh, it's an abomination. And my thought is you know, I'll bet you these guys who are so adamantly opposed to, I'll bet you they tried on mom's dress and they liked it. And now they're fighting it back with all of their heart and soul. They're fighting it back with everything.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. As the trial was to get underway, the defamation lawsuit pitting Dominion Voting Systems against Fox News is settled. Dominion wanted $1.6 billion, but says it's getting just over $787 million. Dominion CEO John Polis.
Fox has admitted to telling lies about Dominion that caused enormous damage to my company, our employees, and the customers that we serve. Nothing can ever make up for that.
CBS's Manuel Bajorquez and why it's been so hard to find gas in South Florida.
It's a distribution problem, a ripple effect from last week's historic flooding. High water and pump problems slowed the delivery of fuel from Port Everglades.
The New York Board of Regents has banned the use of indigenous names, mascots, and imagery in all public schools. The Reverend Tracy Blackman with the United Church of Christ, which works with the Council of American Indian Ministries.
I hope that what New York has done becomes a call to consciousness for the nation.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's clergy abuse hotline has led to charges against three accused predators. Attorney General Josh Call says prosecutors filed formal charges last week in two cases and formalized accusations against a third priest who had died. Call says about 250 people have called in with reports of abuse since the hotline went live 2 years ago. Frozen strawberries are making people sick with hepatitis A. The tainted fruit came from Trader Joe's, Costco, and other stores. The strawberries were sold under labels like Kirkland Signature, Trader Joe's, and Simply Nature. The FDA has linked the outbreak to farms in Baja California, Mexico. In sports, the Brewers beat Seattle last night 7-3. Colin Rhea starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoyed by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Is now in session. Today's subjects, biology.
Name an animal with the long neck.
Dinosaur, long necky.
Let me ask you something. When last time you seen one?
Anatomy.
Name a part of Steve Harvey that a woman might want to kiss.
Your six-pack.
The six-pack? Does she know who Steve Harvey is? You got to dig for it, but it's in there.
Get school with Family Feud.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on CW18.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
People will stand up for Democrats. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, just as I was looking forward to opening arguments today, Fox News didn't go ahead and settle the defamation case. I was looking forward to some fun, some entertainment, more juicy tidbits coming from behind the curtain. But here's the thing that gets me, and this is where, you know, you're looking at the amount of money, $787 billion. $787 billion. That's half of the $1.6 billion they were asking for. And the question is it because the, you know, the judge thought that they were less than truthful, otherwise known as lying? Or was it that a former producer had even more information? I don't know, but here to share some thoughts on maybe where this is, where it's going, and all of that, I've asked John Neffel to come talk with us. John's a senior rapid response writer over at Media Matters for America. MediaMatters.org is their website. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Rick.
So let's start with the shock part. I got to tell you, I'm shocked. I was surprised. I know Fox would want to settle. Still trying to figure out why Dominion settled.
Yeah, I was there in the courtroom today, and you know, there was this extended afternoon break that just kept kind of dragging out. And then at about a little bit before 4 p.m., the judge came back and quietly said the case has been resolved. And it was almost the definition of ending with a whimper in some ways. I think that it makes a lot of sense, like you said, for Fox to settle. This trial was scheduled for 6 weeks. With every passing day that this story was in the headlines, not only were we learning more about the behind the scenes goings on of Fox in the period in question in 2020 and the immediate aftermath of the election, but that every day this was in the headlines, it was a reminder to the larger public that Fox is not trustworthy and that their business model relies on telling their viewers lies.
But John, fair and balanced. Fair and balanced.
Right. You know, you can get that tattooed on your forehead and it doesn't make it so. And so from their perspective, I think that you know, it made sense for Fox to kind of walk up to the very edge of the cliff here. The jury had been impaneled. There was a jury. There were alternates. There were you know, human beings who thought that they were going to be sitting in this courtroom for the next 6 weeks of their life doing their civic duty. And Fox News got to the edge and they said, you know what? It's not worth it for us. It's not worth it for us to potentially put Rupert Murdoch on the stand because we've already gotten Rupert's depositions in the pretrial motions in the pretrial phase of this. And Murdoch himself admitted that he could have put a stop to all of this early on. And he even told the New York Post to do that exact thing in an editorial. His son, Lachlan, has a much, much closer degree of editorial control over Fox coverage than the company likes to put forward. There, what we got in some of these pretrial exhibits is that Lachlan was giving notes on the ticker at the bottom of the screen. So you cannot get more minute in terms of editorial direction than that. And I think that having anyone from the Murdoch family on the stand would have been a massive public service and obviously a huge liability from Fox's point of view.
Yeah, no, out of that whole thing, you know, Rupert Murdoch gave the, you know, the most important line out of all of it. And it's what I've said all along. It's not about red or blue. It's about green. It's always about the money. And then you just had the guy in charge of all of the, you know, all of the strings saying, yeah, we don't care about fair and balance. We don't care about you. We care about us and we care about money. And that's what's important. And that's why I thought Dominion should have just kept going with this. And I know it is about the money, $787 million. But still, this, I guess there's that purest part of me. You know, when you've got someone in that position, you finish them off. But thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that line when that you were just referencing, when Murdoch says it's not about red or blue, it's about green, that comes from the part of the deposition when he was justifying putting Mike Lindell, my Pillow CEO, Mike Lindell, on the air for an interview on Tucker Carlson's show, the network's marquee show. And as people may remember, Tucker Carlson bleeds advertisers because he has a history of promoting white nationalist talking points and things that really much of the public finds abhorrent. And Mike Lindell remains one of Fox News's main advertisers. And so here's Rupert Murdoch saying that we're going to put Mike Lindell on the air. And the crucial background for all this is that Mike Lindell is the poster child for the election denial movement. If people aren't aware of that, in addition to his you know, pillow operation, he has hosted these totally bunk cyber symposiums that present this just nonsense, quote unquote, evidence about election fraud. It's all complete nonsense. Tucker Carlson knew it. Everyone at Fox knew it. They all knew that that's what he was going to say when he went on Tucker's show. And that's exactly what he did said. And right from Murdoch's own lips is it's because it's about the green. It's not about red or blue.
Yeah. Now, the Lindell thing was hysterical. I got to tell you, I watched some of the Frank TV, hours that he did that 100-hour marathon of insane, whatever that was. I watched a portion of that. And pure entertainment if a train wreck is something that you're into.
Yeah, absolutely. And, with Lindell, there's this sort of ongoing feud that he has with Fox News where they will book him, they won't book him. But what was fascinating is that in one of the earlier hearings that I attended for summary judgment, which means that each party in the case was asking the judge to resolve it before it went to a jury, Fox News defended putting Mike Lindell on air because they said he was so incoherent he couldn't have defamed Dominion. Fox News's own counsel said that a reasonable viewer listening to Mike Lindell wouldn't know what he was talking about, and therefore he couldn't have made a false statement of fact with actual malice because he was so far out of left field. And so this is Fox News's way of defending their editorial decisions, is that it's too incoherent to even be taken as a factual statement. So that gives you the sort of sense of the good and bad faith we're dealing with here.
So their argument basically is Fox TV is really like the old school Mad Magazine. Can't believe it's all satire. You know, nobody actually takes that stuff seriously. But then again, that wasn't their defense of Tucker Carlson early on, that he's not news, he's entertainment, so he doesn't have to be honest.
Exactly. They sort of trot out this line repeatedly about the primetime people are the viewers understand that it's opinion and editorial, and so that they're not presenting news. Sometimes, yeah, there's this sense that even Fox acknowledges that Tucker is not reliable. And what Fox has done for years now is pretend that there's some kind of hard and fast line between the straight news kind of day side reporting and the opinion shows in the evening, especially. And what a lot of the pretrial evidence and exhibits showed is that the so-called straight news side was completely complicit in this. Many of them knew that these election conspiracy theories had no basis, that they were false, but they still showed up on dayside programming regardless. And so I think that Fox News is often kind of too cute by half when they try to make these legalistic parsings from one thing to the other. But everyone who watches the network, I think, takes the network in as an entire package. And that was one of the elements of Dominion's argument, is that for the viewer, you're not parsing, this person is a guest, they're being asked a question by an interviewer. You sort of take in the whole thing as a singular product. And I think that that's the best and the only way to understand Fox News is holistically as this deceit machine.
No, and that what the reality is it's the news, because they're creating the news. And I always thought their argument that you know, Tucker was entertainment was interesting because, not again, I'm not a lawyer, but you know, the common sense in me goes, well, you know, the First Amendment, you know, protects the press in a lot of ways by parsing them out and saying, no, they're not news. You open yourself up to these kind of things. And I'm shocked that it hasn't happened already before now, because they've done a lot of this stuff over the years. So the question I come back to is, now that they've settled this, there's another lawsuit coming. There's another lawsuit, I guess, this Smartmatic voting machines. Are we expecting a settlement there? And then won't that just open it up for other people to go and attack them?
Right. Well, there is a sort of funny moment outside the courthouse today. Some of the journalists were sharing in the gallows humor that the press often indulges in. And I overheard a couple people say, you know, I'll see you next time it's Smartmatic. It'll be the exact same fact pattern. You know, so people were joking about how you're not going to have to read the legal briefs for Smartmatic because it's the exact same thing. Who knows what that case will bring? Smartmatic has said that I think their statement in response to this was, Dominion exposed many of Fox's lies, will expose the rest. I mean, I would be surprised if that case ended up significantly different than this. I think that this is probably pretty close to a template for how Fox and Smartmatic is going to go. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll go to trial, but I wouldn't put money on it.
Wow.
And as far as opening the door to the future, I think what it opens the door to is it opens the door to Fox to backslide into presenting almost the exact same set of conspiracy theories that were in question here, but just leaving out the word Dominion, leaving out the word Smartmatic. And already this year, Media Matters did a study. By early March, Fox News had put forward 50 lies about the elections, about the midterms, about January 6th cases where Fox personalities will say that the FBI is manipulating elections. And so what we're seeing already is Fox News reverting to this exact same kind of conspiracy theory, election denialism, that was the heart of the matter here. And I think that this has given them a license to continue to do that, but just to make sure that they don't have a specific party who's going to have standing to bring a specific lawsuit like this. But I think that that's the most likely outcome from this, unfortunately.
Yeah, don't defame just one, defame them all.
Right, exactly. There is a sort of like, if it's so broad that no one has a particularized standing, maybe you can get away with it.
It's crazy. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show with John Neffel. John's a senior rapid response writer over at Media Matters, mediamatters.org, their website, if you want to take a look at this. Now, the thing that bothers me is, like a lot of these settlements, is Fox admitting any wrong in this? Will there be anything on the F channel saying, hey, we were wrong, we lied to you viewers, sorry? Any of that happening?
As of right now, no. And their initial statement was a very, very squirrely, weaselly way of addressing the facts that have already been ruled on by the judge. The judge already in the case, as part of the summary, the earlier hearings that I was referencing, the judge already found that nothing that Fox News said about Dominion in this period in question after the 2020 election, nothing was true. Full stop. This was already found by the judge. This is a judge's ruling. And Fox News, in their statement, acknowledged that the judge found certain parts were
mistakes
incorrect.
Were made.
Exactly. we're completely in the mistakes were made territory. And Fox News's statement didn't. There was no admission of guilt. There was no admission of accountability. There's no reckoning whatsoever. I think that Howard Kurtz may have like acknowledged it on Fox News this afternoon as part of like a media report or something. But there's as of right now, we've heard that there is no plan for on-air talent to read apologies, it's virtually impossible to imagine the primetime lineup giving an apology unless it was ordered by Murdoch.
Yeah. No, see, this would get me. This always gets me. The left, anyone on the left, if something like this were to happen or anything happens, there's always a teary-eyed apology. They go on this, oh, I'm so sorry tour, and they take arrows from every direction. Republican, the Fox News and those folks, they're just going to move right along like nothing happened.
Yeah, well, and the key background to all of this, the sort of like, behind the scenes media business angle to all of this, is that Fox is currently negotiating what are called carriage fees or affiliate fees that they negotiate with cable providers. And second to ESPN, Fox News charges the most fees from cable providers. So what that means is that even if Fox News didn't sell any ads, they would still be a profitable media company because they have convinced cable providers that their audience is robust enough to warrant these exorbitant fees that totaled nearly $2 billion with a B in 2022 alone. So that means that every single person in the United States who has cable, who pays for it, is paying Fox to pay out this settlement. So even if you never watch Fox, even if you never buy MyPillow, even if you don't have anything to do with Fox or any of their advertisers, if you pay for cable and Fox News is included, you are paying Fox News through these carriage fees. Yeah. And right now, Fox is renegotiating an increase in these fees. So I think that from Fox's point of view, what they have learned is that their business model is to continue to tell their viewers lies, to keep them loyal, to make sure that they don't go to Newsmax or OAN or these other kind of nascent competitors. And that the more they're loyal and devoted to Fox News, the more Fox News can leverage that audience to these cable providers, so that even if they face boycotts from advertisers, they still have this huge revenue stream coming in separately. So until that is addressed, Fox News, I think, sees this as the cost of doing business, the same as a massive financial institution after 2008 sees an SEC violation as a cost of doing business. Oh, you're going to give me $1 billion fine? Well, I'm a transnational bank. Like, okay, I'll just profit off this. I'll just keep the remaining profit. And I think that Fox News is basically treating this the same way. It's a cost of doing business for telling their viewers what they want to hear, and that's what is going to keep them profitable until that changes.
Yeah, that's the number's eye popping, but I don't know that it's enough. It's one of those things I just don't know that that's enough. So last question I've got for you. You know who I really feel sorry for in all this? The jurors. The jurors have got to be fairly bummed out. This was kind of like, this could have been like a golden ticket. There were going to be 12 or 13 books written out of this because of all of the craziness that was going to be on display. This was going to be, for me, watching this would have been a comedy display of watching Fox trying to justify all of the garbage that they've spewed and then try and dance around the fact, well, it's just entertainment or it's just about the money.
Right. I mean, when you think about the jurors and the alternates, that they would have had a front row seat to one of the most interesting First Amendment media stories in half a century. On the other hand, as anyone who's ever done jury duty knows, having to take off work and find childcare and all the rest of it is a serious hardship. So there's probably some people who are thrilled to not have to be
let me think about that. I'm gonna take time off to sit on a jury of a case nobody knows about, or a case that I'm going to be able to write a book and probably make $1 million. I don't know. I think I'm going with the book.
Yeah. We'll do a joint authorship if you and I get impaneled together.
There you go. So the Smartmatic thing, real quick. When does that start? What are we expecting that to begin and all of that, so we can mark it on the calendar?
I don't have a date for that. I don't know that a date has been set, but it's very much in the works. And I have to imagine that this is is gonna accelerate at the very least the media interest in it. But I'm not sure that there's a calendar date set yet.
Well, when that happens, we want to have you come back and share some more thoughts on where this is going and all that. But John, I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Great stuff, John Neffel. Make sure you check out John's work over at MediaMatters.org, where he's the senior rapid response writer for the folks over at Media Matters. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute. So more fun and entertainment coming out of Clarence Thomas. Wow. I think we've all got the wrong friends or just maybe the wrong job. Maybe that's more like it, because we're supposed to believe that, you know, all of these rich people did all of this wonderful benevolent stuff for Clarence and Jenny Thomas. Took them on $500,000 vacations, bought up mom's house and renovated it. A whole bunch of other real estate dealings on the other side. You know, gifts and presents and trips and oh my. Just because he's got a great sense of humor. He's got a great sense of humor, evidently. Anybody buying that? And what I find interesting is the silence of the right. And the only people who are peeking around the corners are the Lauren Boberts and the fringe. Who, Clarence Thomas is an American hero. Yeah, because, well, he's stuck it to the little guy. I don't know what the... this would all be criminal stuff. Now, what's interesting is, you know, when you do your disclosures, you're supposed to mark, you know, how much money, your assets, how much this, how much that. There's supposed to be some, a little bit of transparency. Evidently, he marked the box that Ginny didn't get any money whatsoever. Nothing. Zero. And yet, oddly enough, we all know she's been doing work for Tea Party groups for years. I mean, this is, you know, she's not Little Miss Homemaker. She's not baking cookies waiting for Charlie to come home so she can pinch his little cheeks or whatever it is they do. And I'm still tainted from watching the confirmation hearings back in the old days. Anyone who remember the Coke can with the little curlies all over it? I seem to remember that. But this is one of those moments where you go, if it's you or me, if it's any average person, any working person, and you were to stand before him in court and go, oh, I didn't know any better. He's on the freaking Supreme Court. This is one of those moments. When I was a kid, my mother would always say, because it was the line, ignorance is no excuse. You know, being stupid is no excuse. Ignorance of the law is no excuse for breaking it. Should that not, and I'm just throwing this out here now, should that not apply double to the guy who interprets the laws? Or can he just go, you know, I interpret that differently now that it's me? It's quite remarkable. And here's the thing. While I was in D.C. yesterday, I talked to a number of people who said, look, this Clarence Thomas thing, it's going to get a lot uglier and a lot worse, because there's a lot. Evidently, the criming was no secret. This has been going on for decades. We're just hearing drips and drabs because finally reporters have gone, hey, there might be a story here. And understand, when the shark is circling, or the sharks are circling, they are most certainly going to find their prey. Now, the question is, are we so badly divided that we can't see what really is going on? that this guy just broke the rules, was bought and paid for from the start? Or will the right dig in even more? Because I'm looking at it going, how do I get friends like that? Want to hear your thoughts, though. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you missed any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast wherever you find your favorite podcast. You will find ours. I got to know, what's the thought on the Clarence? Thanks for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.